You are Locked On Seminoles, your daily Florida State Seminoles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Seminoles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wayne McGahey III, Florida State beat writer for the Tallahassee Democrat. And signing day came and went yesterday. It was a busy, really busy day for me. Sorry that I didn't get to the podcast. I started work at 6:30 and didn't get home from work until around 12:30 a.m. this morning. So I apologize for not having a podcast up yesterday, but I'm going to discuss, everything that happened, Florida State's signing class with 14 signees, the guys that they lost, and the guys that they lost out on. So we've got a lot to talk about. The first thing we're going to talk about is Sam Howell and quarterback recruiting. That's going to be the first segment, and then going to talk about the guys that Florida State signed in the second segment, what I like about this class, what Florida State needs to focus on in the in January. That'll be the third segment. So jumping right in, Florida State did lose Sam Howell to North Carolina. It was a major blow. There's no other way to describe it. It was a major blow. Florida State needed to have a quarterback come in for the spring semester, and with DeAndre Francois expected to transfer or leave, he's not expected back by Florida State, and so we don't expect him back either, and that leaves James Blackman as the only scholarship quarterback available for the spring. Now Florida State could bring in a grad transfer, but I'm not sure how Blackman would take that. He sat behind DeAndre Francois last year. He redshirted. I don't know how he would take Florida State bringing in a graduate transfer, especially if they bring in a graduate transfer at a high level, because I don't understand why a graduate transfer would come if they weren't planning to start at Florida State. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is at the top of that list. Justin Fields would be at the top of that list, but I don't think he would be considering Florida State at this time. Florida State would have to find a graduate transfer that they believe can help them, and if they find one that they believe can help them, then you run the risk of scaring off James Blackman and having him transfer, which leaves you in the exact same position. The plan was to always bring in two quarterbacks, one quarterback in this class in the first half, signing early, enrolling early in Howell, and then bringing in a second quarterback in January and signing them in February and having them come on campus in June so that they're available for fall practice when it starts in August. So that's going to change now. I still think Florida State plans to add two quarterbacks. They may plan to add a graduate transfer. We'll have to wait and see on that. It's a very delicate situation for Florida State because they can't run the risk of pissing off James Blackman and having him transfer out. But with the freshmen, if Florida State recruits a quarterback, which they will, there are multiple targets. I'll get into those guys in just a second. But Florida State gets will most likely try to sign two quarterbacks. Both of them will arrive in June and have a month of practice under their belt before the season, which, isn't an ideal situation. We saw what happened with that in 2017 with DeAndre Francois going down and James Blackman having to step in and start for an entire season. So it wasn't an ideal situation when Blackman took his lumps, and you're going to have that when it comes to having a freshman quarterback that's been on campus for 2 months taking over the reins of your program. So it's not an ideal situation. It wasn't going to be an ideal situation regardless, but having Howell on campus for the spring and then, him competing for the starting job, it would have been a better situation, but that's not going to happen now. So Florida State's going to have to make the best of the situation. They're going to have to find at least one quarterback that they think can help them in the fall, because if whoever is the starting quarterback, whether it be James Blackman or if, they bring in a grad transfer and he wins the job, whoever, they're still going to be likely. If a grad transfer comes in and wins the job, I highly doubt that James Blackman would be on the roster for the season. That just doesn't seem possible that he sits behind another quarterback for another season and waste a year of eligibility that way. So the quarterbacks that Florida State are looking in on, one is a Georgia commit, John Rhys Plumlee. Georgia was planning on blue-shirting him. He has, you know, a really good offer list: Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Florida. You know, but not sure if he would have been takes at any of those. I'm not sure, you know, what the situation is with that. But he was committed to Georgia. He did not sign early, and Florida State is definitely interested. He's an extremely good athlete. Not sure how good of a quarterback he is overall, but he's a good athlete. He can run, and he's a talented football player. And right now, Florida State needs as many talented football players as they can get, especially at the quarterback position. So the other name worth noting is Lance Legendre. I've talked about him a few times on this podcast. He was previously committed to Kansas, but decommitted from Kansas. He has a lot of offers. Something of note, he has an offer from Houston. And we do expect Kendall Briles to be announced as the offensive coordinator for Florida State sometime within the next week or so. I don't want to say that happens within a week, but it likely happens within the next week or so. So we'll just have to wait. Houston plays in their bowl game on Saturday. So after that, I would expect an announcement, you know, some point after that. So, but Legendre, Florida State's been in on him for a while, and he was always going to be a possibility in January. Florida State was considering bringing him in then. He didn't sign early. He's not an early enrollee, so he's a prime candidate for Florida State to turn to. The question is whether or not he has the academics to make it in to whatever school he chooses. That's been up in the air from what I understand. I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just going by what I've heard. And, you know, both of those guys are two really talented players. Not sure how ready either of those guys would be to come in and play immediately if they're called upon, but they may not have a choice if they decide to come to Florida State. So those are the two guys that I know about as far as, you know, Florida State reaching out and talking to and considering. I'm sure that there's more, but I haven't heard about them yet. Those are the two that I have heard about. I know Florida State does like both of them, and both of them are considering Florida State at this time. So obviously not an ideal situation for Florida State, but you know, making the best of a bad situation, there are two legitimate quarterback prospects that Florida State can turn to in January and February and try to get them both signed, and try to get them both in the class, and then have a few more options as far as that goes for the 2019 season and beyond. So but that's going to do it for this first segment of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it so far, and I'll be back in just a second talking about the rest of, all of Florida State's signing class. So, but are you sick and tired of having 20 extra channels that you never watch when you just want to see Florida State win? You've got to check out Sling TV. Sling TV gives you the ESPN, the Pac-12 Network, the SEC Network. The ACC Network will probably be on it when it comes out in August. And you can stream on all of your favorite devices. Your big screen, your phone, doesn't matter. Your iPad, does not matter. You can stream on any of those devices. And, you know, it's $30 a month, and it's so much better than cable. So you got to check it out. And if you're interested, you've got to go to sling.com/lockedon. That's sling.com/lockedon. So don't get stuck fighting with cable. Check out Sling TV. That'll do it for this. Welcome back to the second segment. It is late tonight. I've been working and trying to get things ready for Christmas. I am going on vacation, and it has been a long couple weeks for me. I start vacation on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to it, and I hope all of you have a wonderful holiday, you know, whatever holidays you celebrate. If you celebrate any at all, I hope you have a wonderful rest of December. But jumping into the rest of, to all of Florida State's recruiting class, Florida State had 14 guys sign, 4 5-stars, and then, I'm sorry, 5 5-stars, and then 9 three stars. Dante Lucas, Jaleel McRae, Kalen DeLoach, Curtis Fan, and Raymond Woody. Florida State got Raymond Woody on Wednesday. The rest had been previously committed for a while. Lucas, McRae, and DeLoach are the three best early signees. I really like Dante. He's a monster. He takes, and he's a lot more athletic than you would expect for a guy his size, and he plays with a mean streak and just a nasty streak that Florida State's been missing. So I really like him. I'm not sure if he can come in and immediately contribute. I think that's something that's going to be up in the air. He is an early enrollee, so he'll be able to get into the strength and conditioning program. I think he needs to drop a little bit of bad weight, but you know, he's a guy that could compete for a starting position early. Jaleel McRae is another guy that I think could compete for playing time early. He's an early enrollee. He comes in physically ready to go at 6'2", 230. He's not the most athletic guy, but he's a good linebacker, good instincts. He understands the game of football, and I think he's a guy that can come in ready to contribute. And then Kalen DeLoach is a good athlete. He's not an early enrollee, and I think he needs to add some weight, so I'm not sure how much he'll be able to contribute early in his career, but I do think he'll be a solid player for Florida State down the road. Florida State added Jarvis Brownlee and Malcolm Ray, as well as Raymond Woody, on signing day. You know, Brownlee's good. He had an offer from Florida. He was committed to Miami. He's a little small, but I think he's a good football player. Florida State didn't sign any of their major defensive back targets. Akeem Dent, Nick Cross, Brennan Gant, and Travis Jay are all ranked inside the top 175 of the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. All four are committed to Florida State, and none of them signed early. Five of Florida State's top seven commits in the 24/7 composite rankings didn't sign early, adding Quayshon Fuller to that list. So Florida State still has work to do in the secondary, but if you just go by who's committed, Florida State has the best defensive back class in the country. Now they just have to make sure that they reel those guys in. Akeem Dent could sign tomorrow. Not sure if it happens yet. I'm not confident that it does. He was going back and forth after, Saturday or Sunday after his visit on whether or not to sign early. And at this point, it's not looking good for Florida State's chances of getting him signed early, which, it is what it is. But if Florida State can sign all four of those guys, it'll be the best defensive backfield in the country. Then you add in Renardo Green and Jarvis Brownlee and Raymond Woody. I talked about Jay Williams. I think he's a guy, JUCO guy. He needs to, he's big, he's athletic, and he doesn't know how to play the offensive tackle positions. So Florida State's going to have to work with him. He is an early enrollee, so he'll be able to go through spring practice. He'll be able to go through the offseason strength and conditioning program. So he's a guy that could compete for a starting job immediately. Then Kevon Glenn, Willie Taggart corrected me when I asked him about him on Wednesday. It's Kevon. I really like his film. He's a little stiff, but that kid loves to play football. He is a hard hitting, nasty, old school type linebacker, and I think he's a guy. I don't know if he contributes early, but he's a guy that could definitely play on special teams immediately. Just because he plays so hard and it is so nasty when it comes to playing the game of football. He's a guy that, he's a three-star. He's ranked as the number 882 overall prospect in the country. I think he's personally underrated. I think he's probably my favorite three-star recruit out of this class, next to True Thompson, but I have a soft spot for True. I've watched that kid dominate at Florida State for 4 years in camps, and with Florida State's defensive tackle position pretty much loaded still, I don't see True coming in and competing immediately, but I do see True having a really nice career at Florida State. But as far as the other three stars go, he's probably my favorite three-star that Florida State signed, just because of how physical and nasty he is and how old school he is. When I think of linebacker, I think of Kevon Glenn. That's You know, those are the guys. I think I mentioned everyone. Maurice Smith, I mentioned Malcolm Ray, Renardo Green, Derek McClendon, Maurice Goolsbee, and Curtis Fan also signed. He was another four-star defensive end. So, in addition to losing Howell, Florida State also lost Derek Hunter, four-star defensive tackle. Florida State recruiting him inside. I'm not sure where he's going to play at Texas A&M because he did flip to Texas A&M. He might play inside, might play outside. This isn't a case of – it's addition by subtraction. He's a kid that I didn't think fit with the culture that Willie Taggart's trying to bring to Florida State, and I've mentioned it before on this podcast, but I think Florida State may have dodged a bullet with that one. I think very highly of his athletic ability. I think he's a really good football player, but I don't think he would have fit in well at Florida State with what Florida State's trying to build. Florida State also, Will Putnam, on Monday and Tuesday, Florida State felt really good about their chances to land him. He committed to Clemson and signed to Clemson today. In the end, it was he wanted to go to Florida State. You know, that's where his heart was set on, but his head, basically, from what I've heard, his head was Clemson, his heart was Florida State, and in the end, he made a business decision, decided to go to Clemson because they are a better program right now. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Clemson is by far the better football program than Florida State right now, and it's really not even close. It's just not even close at all. So Florida State's got a long way to go to closing that gap, and winning battles like Putnam is the only way that's going to happen. And right now, Florida State isn't doing that at a high enough level to make that happen. So the Florida State has a decent recruiting class. As far as the signed class goes, it's all right. Florida State needs to close out with the five commits that they have that haven't signed. They need to sign all five of those guys because all five are really talented players. And then add a couple more offensive linemen, add a couple quarterbacks, add another wide receiver, and maybe another defensive lineman. We'll have to wait and see on that. But there's, So that's going to do it for this second segment of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about, the recruits that Florida State could go after in January after the dead period ends and recruiting begins again in January. But we'll get into that in just a second. Thanks for sticking with me as we head into this final segment. We're going to talk a little bit about who's still available, and this will change some because the early signing period doesn't end until tomorrow. But just jumping right in, on the offensive line, Florida State's going to want to add at least 2 to 3 more offensive linemen. After missing out on Putnam, that's a big loss for Florida State, but there are other offensive linemen on the board. Starting with the offensive tackles, there's Darius Washington, who's committed to Mississippi State, doesn't have a Florida State offer yet, but he is expected to get one. There's Daywon Jones, whose offer list is blown up. There's Kadeem Telfort, the former JUCO Florida offensive tackle that was caught up in the credit card fraud scam. That transferred out, he's a possibility. Josh Cooper, another JUCO offensive tackle, he's a possibility. Then in the interior, you've got Desmond Bland, a JUCO guard. You have Kamar Bell, who Florida State offered today. He's considering Florida and Auburn. He's a 3-star kid, but there are options on the offensive line, still good options on the offensive line for Florida State, and that they should be able to land a few guys that can help them for next season. So Florida State still has some work to do on the offensive line, but the pieces are there for them to put together a makeshift offensive line that's much better than what they put together last year. That's basically what Florida State can hope for after the way last season's gone, and you know what the options are available, because they are having to go the JUCO route to try and put a Band-Aid over, you know, a gaping wound. It's not really going to work that well, but anything you can do to improve it is, you know, something that you have to do. Wide receiver, George Pickens has not signed. He's not signing until February. Florida State is going to do everything they can to get him in. He's visited Florida State multiple times. He's, in my opinion, he's the best wide receiver in the country. I've seen Hazelwood play. George Pickens do has been phenomenal. I love that kid. His catch radius. I think he's a better football player than a better wide receiver than Jaden Hazelwood, who is considered the number one wide receiver in the country. RJ Henderson is also an option, but I'm not sure, you know, how interested Florida State is in him. They'd like to add one more wide receiver, but it's not a necessity. They're going to go after one of the best in the country and try to land that one after landing five last year. So it's not necessarily a major need. Running back, they aren't really recruiting any running backs at this point. They were recruiting Trey Sanders, but never really gained any traction there. And he committed to Alabama because Alabama's the machine. They just churn out and recruit five stars, and then, you know, those five stars go on to play in the NFL, and then they recruit more five stars to replace them. That's what Alabama does. The tight end that Florida State offered, Sam Snyder, signed with Baylor, so he's no longer on the table. I don't expect Florida State to add a tight end unless they find one they like in January, but as of right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Linebacker, Lakia Henry, JUCO linebacker. He's the number one JUCO linebacker in the country, the number three overall JUCO player in the country. He could be an option for Florida State. And then Florida State, like I said earlier, needs to sign all five of the guys that they have committed but have not signed. That's a must. And all five of those guys are probably going to take visits elsewhere in January, and Florida State needs to have a plan in place to keep them on board, because keeping those five guys is extremely important. Three of those guys, Akeem Dent, Travis Jay, and Nick Cross, are guys I believe could come in and contribute immediately for Florida State in the secondary, and Florida State needed to bolster its depth. The guys that they signed earlier are good. I'm not sure that they're instant impact type of guys, but those three guys that I mentioned, Dent, Jay, and Cross, are all guys that I believe could come in and contribute immediately for Florida State. I'm trying to think, what else? Is there anybody else that I missed? I covered the quarterbacks. I covered the offensive line. So I think that's it. I think I got everybody, at least from what we know right now. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow during the day this time to talk a little bit more about the signing day, talk more about the offensive coordinators, talk about basically the Florida State football program. We're going to talk a little Florida State basketball as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. Like I said, I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday season, and I'll see you on the other side.